Welcome to the Marriage Puzzle Podcast with Julie and Thomas Hobby. We are marriage coaches who help couples with pain points about money, intimacy, and communication go from being overwhelmed to being secure in their marriage.
If this is your first time listening to us, thanks for checking out our podcast. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a rating and a review. Let's dive into this episode.
Hey everyone, we're going to be talking about another principle from the book, The 7 Principles for Making Marriage Work by John Gottman. But before we do, we want to kind of give you a bonus tip or three keys to managing conflict, which comes from the book because it's not just 7 chapters on the 7 principles. Between some of the chapters is just extra marriage material. So that's why we're trying to just pull out little nuggets here for you guys. But we encourage you to go get the book at marriagepuzzle.com/books because there's so much more than what we're even trying to pull out and cover for you guys. But we didn't want to dive in too far without bringing these 3 keys to managing conflict because it will tie into the next principle of problem solving. So the first key to managing conflict from John Gottman, he says negative emotions are important. So that's knowing more about how your spouse is feeling, kind of lean into that. So if they're angry, frustrated, sad, disappointed, those are negative emotions and they're very important. And something else to note is even when your spouse's negative emotions are directed at you, they contain information needed on how to love your spouse better. So that's why negative emotions are important and you're encouraged to lean into those even in conflict.
Yeah. And the second key to managing conflict that he goes over in the book is just remembering that no one is right. That doesn't mean that everybody is wrong. It's not saying the opposite thing there, but it's basically just reiterating that you're on the same team and you're working towards a resolution together. You're looking for a win-win and not a win-lose. It's not that one of you needs to be right and win so that the other person loses. And we've talked about this in previous podcasts that if Julie and I are in a conflict, even more than I would want to win that conflict or that argument, I should want her to lose less. And so if I'm thinking of it from that perspective, like, I don't want you to lose, so how can we win together?
Because we're on the same team.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So number 3 is in the keys to managing conflict is acceptance is crucial. And so in this, you know, this is going to be a vulnerable time for you and your spouse when you're working through conflict or trying to solve a problem. And, you know, if your spouse is being vulnerable, then you have to validate them. So those emotions that Julie talked about in number 1, would you be able to easily list some of those off for us again? Those
I don't know if I have all of them, but just, you know, sad, frustrated, anger, disappointment, mm-hmm. things that aren't happy, aren't, you know, right. joyful, and things that it's kind of going back to that, you know, when we were talking about turning toward each other, when your world crashes down and your spouse might feel like they're overly emotional. Right. So that's where that negative emotions come. It's kind of the sad ones.
Right. Yeah. So when those emotions are coming out, you have to validate your spouse in those. And basically, you have to show them that those emotions are okay, that it's okay to be having those, and it's okay, an okay and safe space to be having those emotions with you, because then they're going to feel accepted by you as they are, just in general, you know, or specifically in that moment, but in general as well, because we've talked before, like if you're going from a bad place in your marriage and trying to get to a good place, then you have to just be able to feel accepted as you are to be able to move forward and not like you have to be somebody else. And that's going to be a big key in trying to move from wherever you're at in your marriage to a better place, is to accept your spouse for who they are and to make sure they know you accept them for who they are. So acceptance is crucial.
Yeah, so just three keys there to managing conflict that we wanted to help lay the foundation going into this principle. It's principle number 5, problem solving. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're not all the best problem solvers right. in but, our marriage, right?
Right, but you can see how these would go hand in hand. I mean, if you're going to be solving a problem, you need some kind of overarching concepts of keys to managing conflict mm-hmm. so that you can get into these 5 steps that we're going to give you around problem solving.
Yeah, so 5 steps for the 5th principle. We'll start with number 1 for problem solving. Soften your startup. So you're allowed to complain, but don't blame. Right. So and we've talked about that before of the difference between a complaint and criticism. So criticism takes it too far and you're blaming your spouse. Mm-hmm. But a complaint here, you can say, I feel blank about blank and I need blank. So those blanks,
aren't swear words.
Yeah. Sorry. Not beeping me out, but those are fill in the blanks because everybody's going to feel differently and need different things from their spouse at different times. But that's just kind of a good thing to soften your startup instead of blaming your spouse, or those called harsh startups.
Right. Yep.
And then, so an example of that, I guess, is a harsh startup would be, the book gives a lot of examples and there's even exercises about this that you can kind of, is this a harsh startup or a softened startup? So you can kind of get this concept if you, dig in deeper to these exercises. But one simple example from the book says a harsh startup would be, you know, your spouse saying, well, it's another Saturday. And once again, I'm spending my free time picking up after you. Instead of starting it with, you know, the house is an incredible mess right now and we're having company tonight. I'm really upset that I'm doing all the cleaning alone on a Saturday. I should have asked sooner, but could you please help me? Maybe you could do the vacuuming. And so I kind of had tone behind the harsh startup because
you normally would if you're doing a harsh startup.
Yeah, that's kind of just like our go-to, right? And hopefully not. It is more natural. I'll just say that and be honest because Thomas and I even, I'm working through this myself. Like Thomas and I go through this every day and how you can have conflict or, you know, steps to problem solving can just be simple as a harsh startup or a softened startup. And so to even dig into deeper with that example, if you said the house is an incredible mess and we're having company tonight, that's describing
yeah,
the situation. So it's not like you made the house a mess. She's saying, hey, this is the state we're in. And then if you say, I'm really upset that I'm doing all the cleaning alone on a Saturday, that's where your complaint comes in, but it's an I statement. So you're not criticizing, again, that you, your spouse, or whoever you're blaming made the mess. And then next, perhaps I should have asked sooner. That's accepting responsibility.
That's a huge key.
But could you please help me?
Mm-hmm. That's and also a huge key.
That's being clear, but also going a step further with maybe you could do the vacuuming, which is stated as a question, mm-hmm. but instead of just like, could you please help me? Right. Because then that can also open the door for your spouse to then not have a softened startup when they respond like, how in the world am I going to help you? Or whatever it could right. be. So that's just step one here is soften your startup, complain, but don't blame.
Yeah. And I think that the biggest part in that is, I mean, we talk a lot about using I statements rather than you statements because I statements are not attacking the other person. But that section where that you read just that accepted the responsibility, that goes a long way into softening this statement even more. You could have left that part out and it still would have been a softened startup mm-hmm. rather than a harsh startup. But that takes it even farther and just tries to show your spouse you're really not trying to blame them. Like, I should have asked you this on Tuesday instead of on Saturday, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever that situation would have been. But like that just goes a really long way to accept that responsibility before a conflict arises out of it. Because, right. you know, once a conflict arises, you know, we'll get to that in a few minutes.
We're no on spoilers step
here. You got to get all the way to the end here. So number two is the step two to problem solving is learn to make and receive repair attempts. So this one is a little interesting because when repair attempts happen, oftentimes they can be disguised, not disguised, but they can be hard to recognize. Mm-hmm. Your spouse can be making a repair attempt for a conflict or something that's been started. And if you're escalated, if you're both escalated, there has been a harsh startup, it's going to be a lot harder to bring it down from that point. Mm-hmm. And so an example, a real life example in our lives that this happens from is... we often use the statement with each other, can I finish? Both of us are relatively bad about interrupting each other when we're talking.
We're both talkers.
So. Right.
We're like, I want to say something. Here I am interrupting you. I'm sorry. So you would say, can I finish?
Yeah. So it's become, you know, it's taken a lot of conversations to get to that point of realizing just like, you know, can I, being able to say, can I finish what I was saying? And then the other person realizes and is like, oh, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, you know, and that's where the repair attempt happens. Mm-hmm. So the can I finish is not the repair attempt. That's kind of,
it's direct.
That's like our code in that, you know, one specific thing that's a direct thing to the other person, like saying, hey, here's what you're doing. Like, you know, you just did that. And without it starting a big conflict, and then it makes the other person who was doing the interrupting kind of take a step back and say, you know what? You're right. My bad. Let you finish. And then
yeah, it's both. It's like two in one here. Learning to make that repair attempt mm-hmm. is, you know, our version of like, so saying, you interrupted me. Mm-hmm. That's attacking and blaming, but like, hey, can I finish? Mm-hmm. And then learn to receive that is also in this, so that's where you're saying yes, absolutely. I'm sorry.
I almost just interrupted right then. So when I do, if I'm the one who interrupted and you said, "Can I finish?" and I would say, "I'm sorry, yes, go ahead and finish," rather than you staying worked up, like that's mm-hmm. me making the attempt.
Yeah,
but you have to then not stay worked up because I interrupted you. You have to then be like, it's all good, move on, go back to what you were saying, and receive that repair attempt. Because it goes, like you said, it goes both ways. If I don't make the repair attempt, we're in conflict because right. I screwed up. But if you don't receive the repair attempt, then you're just going to be frustrated and we're still going to be in conflict. Mm-hmm. And so it definitely goes both ways on that one.
Step three of problem solving is soothe yourself and each other. Because once you escalate, it's nearly impossible to initiate or receive any repair attempts that we were just talking about. And so the goal is to try to get to a place of a calm discussion. Mm-hmm. And that's easier said than done, right? Like, we're calm now, but it can escalate at any moment. I think that's why there's a total of 5 steps in this. It's not just, hey, stay calm and you'll win this. Like. Right. It starts with soften your startup and then learn to make and receive repair attempts, but also soothe yourself and each other. So you're reminding yourself, or you should allow each other to remind, like, hey, we're just talking. Hey, yeah. Like, I know we're not in agreement on this, or we are discussing this until, but like, we don't need to fight about it.
Right.
We need to talk about it. So we need to stay calm. Because once it escalates, it's hard to keep listening. It's hard to make even like common. Sometimes you can go round and round and round and be like, what are we even fighting about? Because you're just trying to raise your voice mm-hmm. to be louder than the other person. If you stay calm and remind each other about that, relax your body language and your tone, then it'll be more effective to what you're trying to problem solve.
Yeah, and I think in that, you know, there's there's some things like, you know, if you're I love what you said about body language. If you're both standing and upset at each other and you've escalated, like, it, you might need to, like, sit down next to each other. You know, you can't also tell the other person to calm down, because that irrationalizes, like, their problem. And you, but it's not just saying, like, calm down, but it's saying other things like, hey, we just need to chill out, or hey, like, bring your voice down, the kids are nearby, or whatever. Like, all of that stuff basically is telling your spouse your feelings are not valid, which we just talked about in the keys to managing conflict. So if it's escalated, you still have to validate them, but you could do that differently by saying, like, hey, I'm on your team, I want to fix this.
Yeah.
It's totally different than calm down, but saying, like, I'm here to work through this with you. Like, mm-hmm. another I statement, not you calm down. Hey, I'm here. Let's figure this out. What can we do? You know, those are the kind of things that you'll need to say to make sure that they still feel validated in their emotions, because the emotions that they're having are valid for some reason, mm-hmm. at least in their mind.
Yeah.
Maybe they're completely invalid to an onlooker, but in their own mind, they have gotten to that point where it's valid.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to maintain that validation to them and make sure to say other phrases like that, like, I'm on your team, or let's get through this together, or let's see if we can figure out a solution together, to make sure, because that's going to help to de-escalate that situation, to know that you're fighting with them, not against them.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Number four is compromise. So this solving a problem is not just about one person changing, but it's about negotiating and finding ways to accommodate each other. So one thing we like to do in our marriage coaching is we teach couples how to do 10 steps to conflict resolution. So this is 5 steps for problem solving. So, you know, don't get it confused, but
10.
Like, there's an exercise we like to walk through that's called the 10 steps to conflict resolution. And so, but one of the steps in that is brainstorming solutions to a conflict to try and reach resolution. And so what that does is that takes what I just said in the last one about, you know, telling your spouse you're on their team a step further and saying, okay, well, let's actually write out some possible solutions to this.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets you both kind of working, pulling back in the same direction again, instead of against each other. And you're writing down those solutions, those possible solutions. And we always tell couples, like, you can throw some crazy stuff on there that you would never actually use, but it's going to lighten up the situation. And, you know, it's going to help you to narrow down some things. You know, like, for example, if you're having trouble with the way you're disciplining the kids, well, you know, we're just going to let them live on their own. Like, well, you can't do that. You know, our kids are 9 and 4. Like, we can't just move out of the house and leave them here. Like, that's not a realistic solution. Could it be a solution? Yeah, maybe in some way, but, like, that's kind of what we're talking about here. So
what I love about that exercise is we allow each couple or each person in the relationship to brainstorm. So, you know, if Thomas would come up with his ways to discipline kids with that example, I'd come up with mine. And then we're, like, putting them together, though, right? You're kind of brainstorming, or you can go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you mix them all together and you're deciding on how to overcome that conflict, because you're resolving it,
mm-hmm.
then it's not, well, Thomas won, you know, like,
right.
We did it together. It's, we both decided this.
And the next step in that is you agree on one possible solution to try.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, well, I think this one's going to work, so I'm going to try this. You try whatever the heck you want. Like, it's not going to work. So, but you come to an agreement about one thing that you're going to try first and see if it works.
Yeah. So it's not like he won, she won, or this or that, but just like we keep saying, you're one, you're on the same team. So we help you figure that out together to overcome that. And Gottman's 5th step of problem solving says, process any grievances so that they don't linger. So he uses the term emotional injuries when describing a conflict that does not resolve in a compromise with where both spouses accommodate each other. And so instead of leaving one spouse feeling like they were not heard, that's kind of what emotional injuries could be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So when you're not resolved, when you feel like, you know, you got the short end of the stick in the conversation, or, you know, you go back to the brainstorming exercises that we were talking about and, you know, you feel good about number four, but I'm not on board with number four, and we move forward with number four. Now I've got an emotional injury because mm-hmm. I haven't been heard, or, you know, heard fully for you to not move forward with that one. Mm-hmm. But he actually has a full 7-step process on how to just deal with these emotional injuries. And that's obviously going to be in the book. So go check that out at marriagepuzzle.com/books.
Yeah. We've already given you 3 keys for conflict resolution, 5 steps for problem solving. So you can go see the 7 steps for processing emotional injuries.
Yeah. So make sure that you're subscribed to this podcast so you can get notifications when each new episode comes out, and go follow us on social media at Marriage Puzzle. And thanks so much for being here. We'll see you next week. We're together. We'll work on marriage one puzzle piece at a time. See you later.
Bye.